Well, this morning we want to talk about the subject of miracles. Tonight we'll go kind of to my normal wheelhouse in the Holy Spirit. But this morning is a special day as we continue the extraordinary series that God has really been blessing here. We want to look today at how God's miraculous power can work in people's lives like us. And he wants to come and help us, even people that feel that there's no hope, and maybe some have come today and you're facing just unbelievable circumstances and you almost feel like there's no air left in your life. God is a God of miracles and he's here to help us. And I have good news that God loves and cares for us. Aren't you thankful for that? Can you imagine if he gave us what we all deserve right now? We'd all be cooking forever in eternity. We'd all be wearing Patriots jerseys. It would be terrible. It'd be terrible. And so, well, let's talk for a few moments about miracles. I want to invite you, if you would, to stand with me to your feet, and we're going to read a portion of Scripture together out loud, and this will be the most important thing that's said all morning. Paul admonished young Timothy literally to devote himself as a pastor to the public reading of Scripture, and I'm so deeply committed to that. But I want us to pray or to read this together, and then we'll say a word of prayer. We're reading a little bit from the beginning of Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews is encouraging people of Jewish descent that have been spread out kind of all around the world at that point to not forget where they came from. To not remember that their faith wasn't just built on a good idea, but it was built on God showing and manifesting his power. And, you know, all of us have probably and most likely experienced God's supernatural hand in our lives in some way or another, more than we can even begin to remember. Don't you wish you would have kept a better journal of those things? And we think about God's miraculous hand and his intervention in our lives. And the writer of Hebrews admonishes us, in turn from his letter, that we would not take for granted the work of God, because it's so easy to get overly familiar with a God we barely know. And God wants to help us, and maybe we can take this warning together and let it stir us today in a few moments when we come to prayer to really believe God to pour out miracles in this house today. You ready to read with me?
Yes.
Everybody out loud, how about a corporate clearing of the throat? Yikes. Heard a hairball over here. Okay, all right, let's read together. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. How many of you believe, like he just told us, that salvation is the greatest miracle that can ever happen in a human being's life, right? Well, can we thank the Lord for that? Thank you, Jesus, that you would allow people like us into your family. I'm so grateful, Lord, to you for the way that you reach to each one of us. And we celebrate, we just confess Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior of the world, and there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your mercy to us. And I ask you, God, even right now, you begin to marinate us in your healing virtue and your touch and your miracles. I pray, God, for the ones that feel the most hopeless and they feel like they're the least likely and perhaps there's no way that you could ever help them. Maybe even they're believing their own inner monologue of condemnation and they say, there's just no way God would ever do that for me after what I've done. We welcome you today, God. Prove that wrong in this house. Show your power overriding our weakness. Perfect your strength in us in our weakest moments, we pray. We welcome your miracles. Amen. Amen. You can be seated if you like. Well, let's talk for a few moments about miracles. Now, this is a little pragmatic today and a little topical, but I felt like the Lord just wanted to really minister in healing today. We had some wonderful things happen in the first service, and this morning when I was praying, I kept on hearing the Lord say, and I didn't know if it was for one service or another, but I kept on hearing the Lord speak to me that he wanted to minister to some pretty spectacular and pretty life-controlling needs like Crohn's disease and autoimmune issues. He's here to help us no matter what the problem is. God is stronger, right? So let's define what a miracle is. A miracle is when the God who made the laws of nature and set in the order of the cosmos down to the orbits and the amount of how many electrons can spin around the nucleus to the planets spinning around in different star systems around the world, all the way from the Milky Way all the way to Alderaan, right? He is the God that's put it all together. He's a God of order and balance and systems. He does that. But a miracle is when the God who put all that in place, just for whatever reason, out of his love or as a sign or as a wonder, he bends those laws in our favor. God has a miracle for us today, and he's here to help us. So I want to share with you just the 8 basic categories of miracles from the Bible. And I want us to think about this because often we think of miracles in terms of in case of emergency, when nothing else works, break glass, grab dove, you know. But really, recognizing our need for miracles should be the chronic posture in a Christian's life. It's not just like people say kind of in a derogatory way, oh, you know, church is your crutch, Jesus is your crutch, you know, whatever. Well, Jesus is my crutch and my wheelchair and my seeing eye dog and my Band-Aid and my IV and my vitamins. And I mean, we need him when we really look in the mirror, like the writer of Hebrews says, and we stop taking God for granted. We realize we need him for everything, right? That was a good spot to go, woohoo, amen, or whatever. Okay, now it's too late now. Please don't appease me. Let's look at the next one if we can, please. The first category of miracles of provision. How many have ever encountered a provision miracle from the Lord? How about, and I know I'm putting you on the spot because sometimes we forget those things, but how many can remember a time when God gave you, like maybe in a financial provision miracle, like a to the penny, just at the nick of time kind of a miracle? I mean, God is really amazing in those things, but much more than finances, God provides food. He provides our essential needs. Can you think of any provision miracles in the Bible? Holler some of them at me. It's just us here today. Feeding the 5,000. That's awesome. Like Jesus gets his hands on 2 Filet-O-Fish Happy Meals and feeds 5,000 with 12 basketfuls, which in the Greek basketful is Tupperware, left over there. Can you think of any other provision miracles? The manna. Yeah, the manna in the wilderness. You know, anybody remember what the word manna means, the translation of that word means? What in the world? What is this? You know, bread from heaven is supposed to come from grain. Can you think of any provision, other provision miracles? Maybe something obscure. Yeah, the widow with the oil. Like, what's the old, anybody kind of grew up in Pentecost? Like the cruise of oil unfailing is green. Okay, that's a really old reference, but that's what I always think of. I don't know, that's like a cruise. I always think of the Love Boat. But anyway, that when you think of God's provision miracles, look at the next one, and we see a couple examples here. You mentioned a feeding of the 5,000 in the wilderness with the manna. But how about Eden, the Garden of Eden, where God literally took all this time, he took the days of creation to literally provide an environment for us to encounter him. And of course, back in the Garden of Eden, everyone was a vegetarian. The only good thing about the fall is that we can eat meat now. But that's, you know, think about that. God provided that environment for us, and he's here to make a way. And some of you are in different spots. All of us will be in provision miracle zones in our lives many times. It's not just like that one time when, you know, but God has this wonderful way of helping us to realize that stewardship thing like Pastor Jason talked about, where everything is God's in our lives, right? And the more freely you release those things, the more you see God's provision at work in your hands. And I'm believing God today that when we come to a time of prayer in a few moments, those of you that are in urgent crisis mode right now for provision, that as we pray together today, that God is going to release that miracle of provision in your life. Let's look at the next one if we can, please. Favor and honor. A lot of people don't think about this as being miraculous, but if you don't have it, you realize it is miraculous. Can you think of in the Old Testament whose story embodies the idea of divine, miraculous favor and honor? Yeah, King David is a good one. Actually, there's several of them. I'm thinking of Joseph is who came to mind first, but King David is a great thing as well because he's kind of like the least likely that God elevates. But you see this in the story of Joseph in Egypt. And if you haven't read that story, check it out today. It's even if it wasn't like historical fact and biblically accurate scripture, it's just a great read anyway, because it's kind of the underdog, how God takes this guy that just everything seems to come against him time after time. But because the hand of the Lord is on Joseph, there is this buoyancy that keeps on bringing him to the surface, no matter how bad the circumstances get. And he ends up being the one that literally saves his whole family who tried to kill him to begin with. And you see this favor and honor. And the whole idea of favor and honor in a miracle sense is that person right there that's at this place of prominence doing this great thing, they're not qualified to be there. God had to put them there. Like the old story, Ian Barclay, the great old preacher, he remarked one time, he's driving down the road and he stops the car real quick and looks out, and his associate was with him, and he points, and there is a turtle sitting on top of the fence post. And what a peculiar thing. And Ian Barclay said, I only know one thing about it. That turtle didn't put himself there, you know, and it's kind of that way in this favor and honor. God has this way of elevating us. Look at the next one. You see a couple examples of them. I like the bottom one there, the Apostle Paul. Paul, at the end of his life, he's under house arrest, and then he's in Mamertine prison, and he even writes, you know, the prison epistles, and Paul, an apostle in chains, you know, prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ for the gospel. And while nothing but the most literally filled with awe, thanksgiving to the Lord for his devotion and sacrifice, giving his life for the Lord and all those things, he also kind of has a little tongue-in-cheek in some of his writing. And in some of the prison epistles, you kind of catch this, because though he is incredibly suffering, it's kind of like, who is chained to who? You think Paul is really chained to Rome and chained in jail, when really, God put Paul there and chained Rome to him to be his captive audience for the gospel. He even mentions, hey, we've got some saints in Caesar's household now. And then 15 years after Paul's death, the very road system that Paul was transported as a prisoner and the very shipping system across the Mediterranean would be the exact interstate highways and internet of the day that God would use to spread the gospel from Rome to the ends of the earth. And so God has a miracle of favor and honor for us. Look at the next one, if we can, please. Creation. Can you think of any creation miracles? How about creation? That's a good one. We think about being creative because we're created in God's image. But God is the original creator. He's the one that created everything with nothing to start with no raw material. He didn't even have the paper and the crayons to get started, right? But we see part of that in his image in our lives, and this is maybe the farthest stretch of this principle, but God is creative, and he shares that with us. And he has this wonderful way, like you think of some characters in the Old Testament, Bezalel and Oholiab. Anybody named Bezalel or Oholiab today? I've never met an Oholiab. But those were the craftsmen, the artisans that built the tabernacle and temple furnishings. And the Bible says they were already the best. One was a metalsmith, one was a wood carver. They were already the best. But then Moses said, God is going to bless them with a spirit of craftsmanship, creativity upon that. And so you can see how God can come and bring us creative ideas and creative ways. But probably the greatest way of creation, a creation miracle, if you look at the next one, is the born-again experience, being born again, that spiritual life. The Apostle Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. All of the old things have passed away, and everything has become brand new. How many of you are glad you're not the same old, rotten, miserable person you used to be? Are you serious? Are you thankful you're born again? Yeah? Well, the clap was a little over the top. Okay, no, I'm teasing. I'm sorry. Just giving it to you. All right, look at the next one, if you would. Protection. Now, stop and think for a moment. How many of you know there's at least one circumstance in your life that's happened in your past whereby you should presently be deceased? And probably more than one. Like, I've seen the way some of you drive. You know, and the Texas State Fair, how many know it's like one deep fried Twinkie is really tempting the Lord thy God? But two, I don't know if there's going to grace to cover that one, you know. But we have this way of living our lives in such a way that we often forget of God's protecting hand. I'm reminded, just in our lives, I think about the different times God saved me and protected me. When I was 14 years old, I was in a horrific fire. I'm all patched up, skin grafts and bionics underneath here. But in the burn ward that I was in for nearly a month, all the other patients passed away. Through an infection that went through the hospital. And it's just like, you know, wow, just crazy protection. Or I think of even our youngest son, Barrett, being briefly abducted in Indonesia back in 2004 and us being able to get him back and safe being unharmed. It was just the police said it was just a total, they've never seen anything like it. You know, you see things like that. You see God's providing hand in protecting us miraculously. Can you think of some biblical examples of protection in the Bible? The Israelites in like one of a million, Red Sea, I was going to say, where do you start? Can you think of some other ones? Daniel in the lion's den, that's a good one. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. David, yeah. Look at the next one, you see a couple examples. You mentioned some of them. How about Noah? Wouldn't the zoos be a bummer without Noah? Or Lot's family? I read that one this last week where they blinded the crowd and let them out. And how about Peter in Acts chapter 12 when he's guarded by 16 soldiers, the four quadrennion, the four squads of four, and he is physically chained to two of those guards. So he's chained to two guards, and there's 14 more in his area. They're guarding him. And in the night, God sends puts the chloroform rag of the Holy Spirit over all the guards and then sends a lock-picking angel. And every door Peter walks to opens up until he gets outside. He thinks he's having a dream until the cool, damp night air hits him and he realizes, oh, this is really true. I'm free. And we see God's protection in those ways. And perhaps there are some, maybe your families or loved ones are even today serving in a dangerous place overseas, somewhere in the military or something. We recognize and we pray for God's providing hand, but we also pray for God's protecting hand here, don't we? And we'll pray about that in a moment. Look at the next one if we can, please. Restoration. This is where something that is either rightfully yours or was yours, taken away, and God having a wonderful way of bringing it back. Can you think of any examples in the Old Testament on this? Job, yeah. Job's like, you know, he's the main character you think about when it comes to this. But can you think of some other examples of restoration? Like maybe not in stuff, but what about in status or in hope? And we think of God's restoring power. If you look at the next one, you'll see the second one there, the woman caught in the act of adultery. In the end of John, 7:53 through... 7:59 through 8:3, you see Jesus ministering to this woman. You always kind of wonder where the dude is, right? He's probably in the crowd holding a rock. But here she is, and Jesus stops and stops the world spinning just to care for this lady and restore dignity to her, but also bring healing and forgiveness to her. And probably if we look at all of our lives, if we're really desperately honest, we realize that all of us are testimonies of miraculous restoration. We really need him. Look at the next one if we can, please. Go one more beyond. Yeah, judgment. Ooh, this one's no good. But we do pray the judgment will come upon the Patriots. But judgment, when you think of judgment, it's easy for us as Christians to go, oh, well, those terrible people over there. The reason why the volcano swallowed them up is because, you know, they're terrible. Is it okay if I'm honest? It's Sunday morning, you have to be. But it's one of those things where sometimes Christians can get so self-righteous, they can even blame the most horrific calamities on other people. The reason why Hurricane Katrina came is because New Orleans is so whatever. Or the reason why the earthquake came in Haiti 10 years ago is because of this. And the Bible doesn't give us any place for that. If anything, our hearts should be broken and filled with compassion for the people that are suffering and the loss that are dying, rather than the, You might have better mind your, you, a good thing that, you know, we can get in that spot of arrogant self-righteousness. I'm thinking about a scripture in the Gospels where Jesus is confronted. They say, hey, Lord, what about that thing when the Tower of Siloam fell and killed a bunch of people? Boy, I bet they really deserve that. That was judgment. And Jesus basically says, nope. But if you want a moral out of that story, you need to be ready and repent because the end can come at any time for any one of us. And he kind of pulled the self-righteous stones out of their hands as well. And I think as Christians, we need to be really careful. We never rejoice in judgment, do we? That's something that's very, very difficult. But God has a wonderful way as well of providing. If you look at the next, you can see a whole bunch of examples of judgment in the Bible. How about the flood? That's a big one. Or Nadab and Abihu, who used the wrong Bic lighter, right? Or Ananias and Sapphira, who lied on their offering envelopes. Or Eliamus the sorcerer. Think about that for a moment. A lot of people have a too simple of a construct of God, and they say only God can only make the blind see. But we have at least two occurrences in the book of Acts where the seeing became blind as an act of judgment, both Eliamus the sorcerer and the apostle Paul. Or what about in the Old Testament? You know, again, the story of Lot, where God blinded the Sodomites there. And these are things that we don't rejoice in, but these are things that compel us to share the love and life of Jesus. If I can just take 30 seconds and say this. With all the stuff that's going on with the new New York abortion legislation, which just breaks our hearts. I just saw even last night, and I had to really restrain myself, and I looked on Facebook last night, and I saw a well-respected Christian leader going, well, we need to boycott this, and we need to boycott that. How many know you don't win any Christians by boycotting lost people? Our posture is never to boycott lost people. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And our posture, like pastors so wisely led us, is to pray for all those involved and be a loving representation of Jesus Christ in the circumstances. That is how people come to know Jesus, not by us pointing fingers of judgment, but instead by us declaring the gospel. The gospel alone is the power of God unto salvation, and the gospel should never be encased in judgmental arrogance, because then it becomes a bitter pill rather than the sweetness of the love of Jesus. That was a good spot to say amen, or I'll drink to that, or whatever you say. Okay, look at the next one here. Guidance, supernatural GPS from the Holy Spirit. Can you think of some guidance miracles in the Bible? How about the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night? Would that not be the best GPS ever? It's like intuitive, God's intuition, where he wants us to go. You think about all the different, like even Abraham, he just obeyed God and went. And somewhere in that journey of starting to walk, God bent his toes in the right direction. We see God opening up those doors. And I love even in Luke 4, Jesus led by the Spirit. And we're going to be leaving God here in a moment as we pray, because all of us chronically need miracles of guidance in our lives, don't we? And then look at this last one, healing, which will be probably our primary prayer focus here in just a moment. Can you think of some healings in the Bible? Lazarus, that's a good one. How many know when you have, like, high blood pressure is one healing, but no blood pressure, that's another kind of a healing, isn't it? What's another healing miracle? Blind guys, yeah? Blind, deaf, lame, what was that? Yeah, the woman with the issue of blood. I mean, you think about all these healings. How about, if you look at this next one, you'll see the top one, a lot of people don't think about it, but snake bite, that's a good thing to get healed of. Not only Paul and Malta, but how about in the Old Testament, the largest mass healing recorded in the Old Testament was when the serpents, the poisonous serpents came out and bit those folks, and probably tens of thousands of people were healed in an instant. I mean, massive healing, or Bartimaeus, I've got a misspell there, that's Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus at night with his Batman costume on. Sorry about that. But you think about God's healing power. Now stop for a moment, because a lot of times when you pray for healing, people say, well, you know, I mean, I'm okay. I'm managing. I'm taking my, you know, meds and all. And thank God for medicine, and thank God especially for Christians involved in healthcare. I mean, it's just amazing. How many know medicine works along with the way God created our bodies? So we're, you know, thankful for that. But there is also a supernatural miracle of healing that God can give to us. And he is here to help us today. In fact, I want you to see this real quick testimony of a lady that just a little while ago in one of our meetings came forward to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, what we'll be talking about tonight. And God ended up supersizing the miracle that he worked in her life. Take a look at what happened.
Okay, so first of all, happy birthday, a day late to you.
Thank you.
I heard it was her birthday yesterday.
Yeah. So, thank you. Last night I came up just to praise the Lord and to desire to be at a higher level with him, and was just praying and praising him. And when I was done, the Holy Spirit just totally came over me, and I've never experienced anything like that in my life. And I was totally baptized in the Spirit and was just praising him, and in a language I've never heard before. And I like languages. I like studying like Beth Moore and those things, but I have no clue what it was. But I was just worshiping him.
That's awesome.
And praying for lots of other people, you know. And when I went to kind of excuse myself and walk out, I could walk.
Why is that a big deal?
Because I have MS, and I have not walked on my own without like a cane or a brace or anything for years.
So you came to the altar last night with your cane and with your brace on,
yep.
Right? And you wear the brace,
yep.
Because you're...
I had a drop foot.
With MS, you're the wiring from your brain to your foot basically gets damaged. So it doesn't say, hey, you need to keep your foot up like this. It kind of drops it down. And then you trip, right? And then so Leslie, do I understand this right?
Yep.
That she actually fitted you for the brace.
Yeah.
So we got like so you came to the altar with a cane.
Yep.
And then how did you leave the altar?
I left the altar with a cane over my arm and walked back and got back there and was just, my best friend said, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I think so. And I was just praising him and taking it all in. And so when I got home, when I called my adoptive parents and said, because they've walked through so much with me, guess what God did tonight? And they were like, what? Are you sure? You know, and then I just started searching scripture. And saying, God, is this from you? Is this really happening? Is this a gift for me that you're giving me? And I didn't even ask for it. Because God is so good like that. And when I got out of bed this morning, I actually kind of went, I can move my leg and just get up. And it's been an unbelievable day walking on my own without a brace.
Why don't you stand up with me and lift a hand towards heaven today? And would you just begin to call on the God of miracles right where you're standing? Jesus, thank you that you help us. You're very present in time of trouble. And we welcome you, Lord, to work miracles. You are extraordinary. And we welcome your extraordinary work in our lives. Come and bend the laws of nature on our behalf. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. I want to invite the prayer partners, if they'd sneak up across the front real quick from side to side. And we're going to, if it's okay with you folks in a moment, I'll set you free. But we're going to have kind of a soft ending because we want to leave a few moments for prayer for people to receive from the Lord. Now, to be honest, every person in this room needs probably 7 out of 8 of those miracles in their lives, right? Like nonstop. How many know if we really stop and look at our lives, we need Jesus a whole lot more than we ever think? And so, like the writer of Hebrews tells us, let's not neglect, of course, that first most important miracle, the miracle that comes through the gospel, salvation, that's witnessed by these miracles that happen other ways in our lives. And I want to ask if you would, just to bow your heads with me and close your eyes across this house. The most important miracle is when people experience Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible calls it getting saved or salvation or born again, born of the Spirit. All of those terms mean the same thing. That means getting in a right status with God according to what God requires. People try to get there by themselves all the time, but we have to go through God's plan. And it's very simple. It involves not some great task. It involves humility and honesty on our part, owning our sin and coming to God in honesty, saying, I can't fix that problem, because supernatural problems cannot be solved by natural answers. They require a supernatural solution. And that's why Jesus came. And this morning, across this house, I want to give an opportunity for those to experience the greatest, most important miracle of all. Maybe today you have never surrendered your life to Jesus. This is the moment. And today God wants to work this miracle in your life. You say, I'd like to receive Christ as my Savior. I'd like to experience that greatest miracle of all. I want you real quick just to wave a hand at me all over this house. Say, that's where I'm at. I need to experience the forgiveness that only Christ can give. Awesome, awesome. God bless you. Anybody else? Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited for you guys. God has such great things for you. I'm going to lead in a prayer. And as we do, if you need a miracle some way in your life, if you want to begin to sneak forward even at this moment, come. There's prayer partners all around. God wants to come and work healing miracles. But I'd like to ask those that are remaining in their seats, and especially those that wave their hands saying, I want to make things right with Christ, if you would pray with me a prayer of forgiveness and surrender to the Lord. If you already know Jesus and know you're born again, would you ask the Lord again for a fresh cleansing from sin and confess Him as Savior in a prayer? If you already know how to pray, please use your own prayer if you're able to. But if you don't know how to pray or can't come up with it, feel free to follow my prayer. Would you do that? Can we all pray out loud before we go? How many think it's okay to pray in church? Yeah? Come on, let's lift our voice right now. Heavenly Father, I need you. I have sinned. I've sinned against myself. I've sinned against others. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me for my sin. I am incapable of correcting that. I need a Savior. I need you, Jesus. Forgive me. Cleanse me from my sin. Write my name in heaven's book. I belong to you now, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I encourage you, before you go, come and sneak up and tell one of these prayer partners or myself. We'd love to pray with you. If you'd like to stick around in this atmosphere of prayer and receive from the Lord, do so. Otherwise, you're dismissed. See you back here at 6. But I'm just going to continue to kind of pray over the microphone. You're free to sneak out. Lord, we just welcome right now your healing virtue to bubble up in this room right now. I pray, God, your healing power would flow right now to knees. Feel a warmth in my knees right now. I command that meniscus tear in the left side to be knit together right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your power. Lord, we're just believing you right now. I'm sensing, feeling the Holy Spirit's power in my right side. There's a lady, there's some sort of inflammation, some sort of condition in the side there. The Lord is touching you right now. The pain is leaving. We thank you for it, God. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for your power flowing. God, we're just believing you right now in your mighty name to come and touch any of our friends that are struggling with Crohn's disease, Lord, or any kind of autoimmune issue. We welcome your power coming in and resetting the body's systems. God, we're believing you for restoration in families, Lord Jesus, and parent-child relationships, Lord Jesus. God, that you would come and restore and rebuild. We pray for guidance for those that seem so lost. Protection, Lord. We pray for favor and blessing, especially, Lord, upon single moms and single parents. Lord, you keep them safe. You would provide manna. You'd give them wisdom. You'd give them extra in every way to help them to navigate that circumstance. Help them raise up incredible young men and women of God. Lord, we just thank you for ministering your great grace, your great power, your great power.